We're going to be looking forward to 2024. And so you might think, well, what are we looking forward to in 2024? Next year, that starts tomorrow. I've got to remember to start putting 2024 on the date when I start writing my checks rather than 2023. It may be a year when the Lord Jesus comes back and those of us who know him as a Savior are with him. It might be, and so we could look forward to that. So we're probably thinking, well, it's about the Lord's return, right? We're going to be looking forward to that. And that is true. It may be. And he may even come before we get together for our watch night meeting tonight at 8 o'clock. We don't know. But it may not be. He may not come in 2024. We're not sure. We don't know. We think it's very soon that he's going to return, but we really don't know. And so it's kind of both. Looking forward to his return, but also thinking about what can we look forward to or what can we be doing if he doesn't come. As we're waiting for him to return, we're waiting for the Lord Jesus to return. Sometimes when we're looking forward to the next year, we think about things in the future that we hope are going to be better. We hope that maybe next year will be better than it was this year. You know, people in the world look around and they hope that there's going to be changes and the world will be a better place. But it's a false hope without Christ, because really the world's not going to be a better place. It's not going to be the world that we'd like for it to be until the Lord Jesus comes back. Some people sing a song. The name of the song is Auld Lang Syne. And it's a song that is a way of saying goodbye to the old year and then looking forward to the new year. Well, some people, when they do that, they kind of, in a way, sort of drown their sorrows, if you'll pardon the expression, of, you know, the things that they were hoping for in the previous year that didn't happen, and sad things, and just disappointments, maybe failures in their own lives, so they can say, oh, we can just forget about that year and look to the new year. But it's just, they may pretend to hope that the next year is going to be better. It's a false religion without Christ. Well, some things that we can look forward to, especially those who know the Lord Jesus as a Savior, here's a verse that helps us to look forward to what lies ahead. Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Well, sometimes we can look back over the year and we have memories, you know, things about the last year that were good. You know, we think about things that happened at the chapel, and there's a little video that, you know, has us remember some of the good things that the Lord did and the experiences that we have. But then we can look forward to the things in the future. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's looking for a prize, a reward for his faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. So maybe you're hoping for a better year in 2024. Maybe you're thinking, well, maybe in this country we'll elect a president who can bring the country together. I wouldn't count on it. Maybe you're hoping that the war in the Ukraine will end, or the war in Israel will end. I wouldn't count on that either. I mean, it'd be nice, but I wouldn't count on it. Maybe you're thinking there'll be less terrorism and fewer mass shootings. I wouldn't count on that either. You know, it's not maybe going to be a better place. The world isn't really going to be a better place. I mean, there may be some good things and some not so good things, but it's still, the world's really just going to continue to get worse until the Lord Jesus returns. Do you know the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior? If you do, you can certainly look forward to his return, because we can look forward to him coming, and we can look forward to him to being with him for all eternity. Because the Lord Jesus promises that. And so we can apply these verses. We've got another verse here too that I want to look at. In the same chapter, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." For those who know the Lord Jesus as a Savior, we have a home in heaven. And it's like, we have a citizenship in heaven. And so we're going to be citizens in heaven with Him. We eagerly wait for Him. And so we can apply these verses to the Lord's return. We can look forward to it. And you can say that you're a citizen of heaven when you know the Lord Jesus as a Savior. But when Paul wrote these verses, he wrote these words in a letter, and he wasn't just thinking about the Lord's return. He was thinking about the resurrection. In fact, in some verses that I didn't list there, he says he was looking forward or thinking of knowing Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. So, you know, those are things we can look forward to. Those are things that we would like to have, is to know the Lord Jesus as a Savior, to know Him and the power of His resurrection. And so we have that power. We have that resurrection power. We have the hope that we're going to be resurrected from the dead. We're going to be raised from the dead, and we're going to be with Him for all eternity, because He promises that. It's a hope because it's something that hasn't happened yet. You know, a lot of times we use the word hope in English to think that maybe it's going to happen. But it's really, in the Bible, something we know that's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. And that's why we use the word hope. It's still something in the future. It's what's going to happen. But Paul wasn't thinking just of the Lord's return. He wasn't thinking just of the resurrection. He was thinking of, you know, of knowing Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. He's talking about sufferings too. Well, that's not something that I really look forward to. You know, I don't look forward to suffering. I don't look forward to pain. And I don't think Paul meant that he enjoyed pain. That's not what he meant. But he understood that there were things that he might have to go through and would have to go through in order for Jesus to be glorified and to show that he truly belonged to the Lord Jesus, and that the Lord Jesus was the one to be worshipped and to be remembered, the one that we look to for salvation. Even though a lot of people didn't believe that, and they wanted to persecute Paul for that, he looked forward to the sufferings that would bring glory to the Lord Jesus. It's kind of hard to look forward to suffering, isn't it? I don't like to think about that. But Paul said he wanted the fellowship of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus because it was an opportunity for him to serve the Lord and to glorify the Lord Jesus. It wasn't as though he was thinking that he was going to get out of suffering if the Lord came back right away. Because, well, he knew he would. Or that he was looking forward to the Lord coming back right away, and so then he would get out of all his sufferings. In fact, he didn't get out of his sufferings. He was even martyred. That means he was put to death for his faith in the Lord Jesus. He was willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus so that the Lord Jesus would be glorified because of who he was and for what he had done. Now, people like to make New Year's resolutions, and that's like a commitment or saying, I'm going to change something, maybe something in my life. I'm going to, maybe I think I need to eat healthier, or maybe I need to get more exercise, or something like that. And so I have in my mind, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to purpose to do something. And I personally don't like the term resolutions because it's sort of like, well, I think I might do that, but I might not. And so if I kind of prefer to make goals, say, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it by a certain date. If I don't say a certain day or date, then I'll probably put it off to the very end of the year, and I won't do it at all. So that's what sometimes people do, and so then at the end of the year, they're very discouraged because they didn't do what they said they were going to do. They didn't do their resolutions. And sometimes we think of loved ones this time of year who aren't with us, and it can be a sad time. So it's not always something we're looking forward to the new year, but we're thinking of how sad things are in the way things are right now. And there's some doubts and fears that we have right now, and things that we're looking forward to. We think, oh, I'm not so sure that's going to be a good thing. Well, I'd like to share some things with you, what Jesus said to certain people who had some doubts, who had some fears, and how Jesus calmed their fears and said, there's no need to fear about these things that you might have coming up or things that you're facing right now. And so there's some things that we're going to look at here that have to do with what Jesus said to certain people. He said to take courage. Or in the New King James Version, it's be of good cheer. Okay, so that's one way to look at it. So you could say that in the times when we're most in fear can also be the times that Jesus gives us the most cheer. Okay, because he says to take courage. So here's some examples of when Jesus... And so we can take courage in these things. One of the verses is from Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. Now, you can look them up if you want. I'll have the verses up here in just a minute. Or you can just jot down the reference. But one of them is Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. A man was paralyzed, and he couldn't walk. So people brought him to Jesus on a bed. He was laying down. And when they brought him, Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the man, take courage, son. Your sins are forgiven. So in each of these verses, we're going to see where Jesus said to take courage or be of good cheer in the midst of something that was terrible that was going on. You know, we often struggle with sin in our lives, don't we? And we can take courage when we know the Lord Jesus as a Savior, because we're forgiven of our sins. When we know him as a Savior, he's promised to forgive us of our sins. Now this man, he was sick, he couldn't walk, and the Lord healed him. Well, it's not always true that the Lord's going to heal us of the particular problem that we have. If we have some illness or sickness, it's maybe not our own sin, but it's the result of sin in the world. We may or may not be free from that. But it's true that Jesus can free us from the penalty for sin. He can free us from the fear of the penalty for sin. You know, for those who do not know the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us that there is a penalty for sin. It's called the lake of fire. And it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible place. Some of us have been reading through the whole New Testament, and so we're on schedule. We're finishing that today. And it's the last chapter of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, there's some terrible things that we read about. Horrible things that people are going to have to face or to endure later on. And one of those, that seems to be the worst to me, is one called the Lake of Fire for people who do not have the Lord Jesus. It's a place of torment for eternity, suffering, judgment for sin. But Jesus frees us from the fear of eternal punishment for our sin, because he's paid the penalty for our sin, the punishment for our sin, when he died on the cross for us. He frees us from the fear of eternal punishment. Now, a few of the things that I'm going to list here, the Lord may not take away the thing that we're afraid of, you know, but he will free us from that fear. Well, in this case, he actually takes away the eternal punishment for our sin, because he's already done it. He's already taken the punishment for our sin upon himself. And so in this case, we can be free not only from the fear of eternal punishment, but from eternal punishment itself, because Jesus has paid for it himself. And even those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus, sometimes we struggle with sin in our own lives. We may still have something that we have to deal with sin in our lives. Even then, we have the promise. One of the verses in the first epistle of John, chapter 1, and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so even when we struggle with sins in our own lives, as believers, we all have some struggles, don't we? And so he forgives us when we come to him. We can have the slate, we say in English, we wipe the slate clean, or it's like erasing a blackboard or erasing, a whiteboard so that it's clean. We start over. We don't have to wait till the end of the year to do that. We can do that whenever we sin and we say, Lord, that's wrong. I confess that. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Jesus frees us from the fear of eternal punishment for our sin, and he restores us from our sin and gives us a life of cleanliness so that we can live for him. Here's another example. It's from Matthew chapter 9 and verse 22. Now, it's not a misprint. It just happens to be in the same chapter. The first one was chapter 9 and verse 2. Here it's chapter 9 and verse 22. There was a woman who was suffering from bleeding. She was bleeding, and she had been bleeding for 12 years. And the doctors couldn't help her. She kept bleeding. She didn't know what she could do. She thought, maybe I could go to Jesus because I know he can heal people. And if I just touch his coat, maybe I'll be healed. And so she did that. And so she went and touched his coat. And, well, Jesus could tell that somebody had touched him. And so Jesus, turning around and seeing her, said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. At once the woman was made well. She was healed. Now, Jesus says it was her faith. And I think sometimes people think, well, if I just have strong enough faith, the Lord can heal me or do something or this or that. And if it doesn't happen, maybe I didn't have strong enough faith. Well, the key is really having faith in the Lord Jesus himself. And in this case, it did make her well. The Lord Jesus may not always make us well. He may not free us from that sickness or trouble that we have in our lives. In fact, well, some people don't seem to get over some diseases and troubles and sicknesses that they have. And they may have it for their entire life and then have to struggle with it or have pain. My brother, I think of him, and he has a disease called multiple sclerosis. And it's, we say MS. That's the abbreviation for that disease. And he may get better. He may not get better. He's not really getting better right now. He's not really getting worse either. But he can't do some of the things that you and I can do. I mean, he's still able to live and to, you know, speak and talk. But he has trouble walking and other things. He may not get over it for as long as he's in this life on this earth. We don't know. Sometimes people don't get better. And we can look forward to hoping we'll have better health in 2024. Maybe some of us will. Maybe some of us will be worse. We don't know. That's not really a very pleasant thought, is it? But we know that we can be free from the fear of constant pain and suffering. Jesus frees us from the fear of always being in pain, because one day, those who know him as a Savior, we're going to be with him, and we're going to have new bodies, and we're going to be free, not only from the fear of pain, but we're going to be free from pain and suffering itself. But right now, we may not be free from pain and suffering, but we can be free from the fear of pain and suffering because we're going to be with him and have a new body when he comes and we're with him in glory. Here's another example from also from the book of Matthew, chapter 14. And by the way, there are some other examples here when Jesus says, take courage. There's a few that I'm not even listing here for the sake of time. There's too many of them. But I just thought it was so interesting. Over and over, he keeps saying this to people in a time of trouble. Take courage or be of good cheer. Well, here was a time when Jesus had sent his disciples ahead of him in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus came after them. He was walking on the water on the sea. And there was a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And they were really afraid. And they saw Jesus, and it's coming, and they thought he was walking, and they were terrified, and they said, it's a ghost. They saw Jesus, he said, they thought it was a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. You know, I appreciated the things that various ones said in the earlier meeting today at our breaking of bread time, a time that we can remember the Lord Jesus and give out hymns and maybe things from the scriptures that remind us of how good he is and what he's done for us. And one of the things that I thought about was something that Mufle said from one of the from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. I thought, oh, yeah. In that verse, God says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I thought, oh yeah, I didn't even think of that verse, but it kind of fits here, doesn't it? Here was a time when the disciples were terrified, they were anxious, they were fearful. But Jesus said, take courage. It is I. Yeah, it's the Lord. He's with us. He's always with us. He's always going to be there. He says, I'm going to be with you until the end of the age. Those who know him as a Savior. We don't have to be afraid whatever we have to deal with in life, whether it's the chaos or the turmoil or the trouble or war or whatever it is. He says, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid because Jesus is there with us. Jesus frees us from fear and doubt in the storms of life we are facing right now. Things that we have to put up with, and we don't know if they're going to be over with before we die or not, or before the Lord comes. But he frees us from the fear of these things. We may still have to put up with them, but he frees us from the fear of them because when we're with him, we won't have to put up with them anymore at that time. He frees us from the fear and doubt of the storms of life that we're putting up with right now. Well, what about the future things? You know, we may not have a lot of things, good things to look forward to. And so here's a verse in John chapter 16 and verse 33. This was when Jesus was speaking to his disciples just before he went to the cross, the night before he went to the cross. He promised that there's going to be trouble in the world for his disciples. He promises that for us too. He says, in the world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Now, in the New King James translation, it has the world. You will have tribulation. In the world, you will have tribulation. So it's kind of looking, saying, this is what you're going to have happen. Something, you know, you can look forward to. I mean, I don't look forward to troubles. I don't really want that to happen. But Jesus promises it. And it's something we have to face and put up with. If he doesn't come, we may have more troubles in 2024. Not a very pleasant thought. But he says, in the world you have tribulation, or you will have tribulation. You have to deal with that. But take courage. I have overcome the world, because the Lord Jesus has overcome the world, because he has been raised from the dead. We too will have victory over the things of the world, over death, because the Lord Jesus has given us that victory over death, because he has been raised from the dead. And so we are overcomers with him because of what he has done. The Lord Jesus frees us from the fear of troubles yet to come. We you know, sometimes we are afraid of what could happen, right? You know, and we think about, oh, this could happen or that could happen. It could be terrible. We call that worry. We worry sometimes about what might happen. In the job that I had before I retired, sometimes I had to do that. I had to think about what could happen, you know, with the product we were making. Maybe this could go wrong, maybe that could go wrong, and what are we going to do about it, and maybe what can we fix now so that that doesn't happen. But sometimes in life, you know, we worry about what's going to happen, but we shouldn't. Because Jesus has overcome the world, and we may still have troubles that we... Sometimes I'm glad I don't know ahead of time what troubles I'm going to have to face. Because it would be bad to think, oh, that's going to happen, you know? But Jesus frees us from the fear of the troubles that we're going to have. Because he'll be there with us. Well, I hope I haven't discouraged you too much for, you know, what's maybe going to happen in 2024. I mean, the Lord Jesus could come back. But if we're just looking at the world, we know that it's going to get worse one way or another. And the Bible tells us one thing that we can also expect is to be persecuted. This is really a promise from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Well, you might think, oh, well, I'm not very godly, so maybe I won't have to be persecuted. Well, okay. But it says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So, if you want to live for the Lord Jesus, it's going to happen one way or another. And some people, especially in other countries, are persecuted a lot more than we are in really terrible ways. But if you're looking forward to the Lord's return, that's good. And there's a crown. We read one of the things that Paul says about that he's looking forward to, or was looking forward to. He says, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. But, he says, not only to me, but also who have loved his appearing. Now, a crown is a way of describing a reward for our service to the Lord Jesus, for what we've done for him. And in this case, for those who look forward or love his appearing when he comes back, there's what's called a crown of righteousness, not just for Paul, but for those who are looking forward to his return. There are other rewards the Bible mentions too. We're not going to take time to talk about all those other ones, but that's something we can look forward to if we're serving him, if we love the Lord Jesus and we love his appearing. Well, there's a reward that's going to be there for us when he returns. Persecution, troubles, things that maybe we're not looking forward to, or things that we're dealing with now. Have you ever thought about giving thanks for the sufferings or the troubles and the persecutions that the Lord has you enduring right now? Because it's something that could earn a crown or a reward, or something that could be glorifying to him, or something that could be an example to people who don't know the Lord Jesus as a Savior. Or it could help believers who are also suffering from some difficulty in their own lives. And we don't know what lies ahead. We know the Lord is coming, but we do know that we will be like him when he returns. For those that know the Lord Jesus as a Savior, here's a verse that says, we are children of God, And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. We're going to be like Jesus. If you know the Lord Jesus as a Savior, you're going to be like Him in some way. What a special, that's something we can look forward to. I look forward to that. I had to include this third verse too. Everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Because, you know, if the Lord chooses not to come back in 2024, well, we have this hope, and again, it's a hope that's a sure hope. It's not something that we think is going to happen, or we hope is, you know, we think maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. No, it is going to happen. It's a hope that's sure, and even if He doesn't come back, by hoping or to have that hope fixed on Him, we're purified. We purify ourselves. And so that's encouraging too, until He does come. Because we got to put up with these things we have in this world until He comes. Hey, if you think that, you know, I mean, if you think you're just looking forward to the Lord's return, and I don't have to do anything else, I'm planning on Him coming in 2024, and therefore, I'm not going to do anything else. Well, you may be missing some opportunities to serve Him. It's a good thing to make some plans for 2024, and yet, the Lord may not always have our plans work out the way we want to. Things don't always work out like we planned or turn out like we planned. But it is a good thing to make plans. Look at this. Proverbs 16:1 says, "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Well, we should make some plans. But the idea is, let's make some plans that would be glorifying to the Lord, or would be serving Him in some way, and something that we could say, yes, here's how I can appreciate what the Lord has done and how I can serve Him. Another verse from the same chapter in Proverbs, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And so when we have the Lord in mind, when we're thinking about how we can serve Him, well, He can lead us, He can guide us, or maybe redirect our thoughts and our plans so that we can serve Him. There may be some things that I have planned that I want to do that are kind of selfish. And, sometimes the Lord may change those plans. It's not a bad thing to want to take a vacation once in a while and make plans to do that and so forth. But if I just think that I can do something that is just going to be for me and what I can do and make money and that kind of thing. And, you know, here's something that James said that is kind of, you know, it's kind of very, very, it's kind of mean. "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit." Well, it's not a bad thing to have a business that makes money. You know, that's what people do. They're in business to make money, but hopefully it's a business that's going to be maybe even a ministry to the Lord, and yes, make money too. But if it's just, oh, I'm going to make money and I'm going to do it for me, and yet you don't know what your life will be. I mean, we don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. I mean, we don't know if we're going to make it to tonight. For someone who doesn't know the Lord as a Savior, don't wait until tomorrow to trust the Lord Jesus as a Savior. Don't do it now. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Now, that's what we need to do. We should make our plans and commit it to the Lord that, okay, if the Lord wills, this is what we're looking for the Lord to do in our lives and for the outcome that will be a good thing. The Lord knows us. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we're thinking. And that's a good thing. Some of these verses from Psalm 139, and we could spend a whole session on just the whole chapter, but here's some of the verses. You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. The Lord knows what we're thinking, what we're planning. He knows our heart. That can be a good thing. But, you know, we think about that and we think, well, if the Lord knows what I'm going to do, if he knows what I'm thinking, and if he already knows what's going to happen, what's the point of making any plans? We can use that attitude. That's not a very good attitude. There is an answer to that question. It's because God gives us a choice. He allows us to choose if we are going to obey him or follow him. He wants us to appreciate him. Or we can go our own way and do what we want and disobey him. Well, you know, we can choose to receive him as a savior. We have that choice. He's given that choice to every person. So every person has the opportunity to receive him as a savior so that they don't have to suffer eternal punishment. You have that choice right now if you don't know him. Receive him as a savior. We have a choice, and the Lord appreciates when we choose him. I mean, that's from the very beginning. He gave man the choice to obey him or to sin against him. And the first man, Adam, made the choice to disobey him. And that kind of started the whole sin problem. But he gives us a choice too. We can receive him as a savior. We can choose to serve him. Here's a verse that tells us that he appreciates. There's many verses like this. This is just one that I picked out. God appreciates when we choose to live for him. We can do that in 2024. We can make our plans to do that. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness. We have that sure hope that he's coming. And so we can have our hope fixed on him and look for his loving kindness. And he appreciates that we choose to serve him. So, here's some things we can do. Here's just some ideas. If you want to make some plans or make some goals. You know, and there's some things you can add to this. Things you might think of. You can be creative. That you can tell others the gospel. Teach them about the Lord Jesus. Teach the Word of God. Well, you may not be a teacher. There's other things you can do. Things you can do to serve the church in small ways. Endure persecution. I'm not looking forward to that. But, yeah, we have the promise it's going to happen. And so, but it can be an opportunity, too. In fact, that made me think of this verse. This was almost kind of an afterthought. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, let's do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of the faith or those who belong to the Lord Jesus. We can do good to all people. We have opportunities. Opportunities to serve the Lord. That's what I'd like for us to look forward to in 2024. If he doesn't come soon, of course I hope that he does. Maybe he does come in 2024. Maybe he comes before that. But if not, we can look forward to the opportunities to live for him and to serve him. You know, sometimes God does things that we didn't plan on or that we didn't expect. But he does something wonderful anyway. You know, I've kind of painted sort of a not very good picture of what could happen in 2024 if he doesn't come. But there's good things that could happen if we're willing to be available for him. You know, I didn't expect to go to New Zealand in 2023. I wasn't, It wasn't even on my plans to go travel to New Zealand ever in my lifetime. But it happened. I mean, it was one of those things where, Wahitu was asking me about traveling and he wanted to go to New Zealand. He and Cha wanted to go to New Zealand. And it was kind of, he was kind of saying it in a way sort of like, maybe you should go with us. And I said, well, I'm not sure I really want to go to New Zealand. I hadn't thought about that. But it was that, maybe that very night that we'd been talking about it, I was laying on my bed and I said to the Lord, I said, well, Lord, I was right about not wanting to go to New Zealand, but I suppose I could go if you wanted me to go. There's nothing really keeping me. I don't have a family. I don't have children or, a wife, and I could go if you wanted me to go. So, well, just a little over a week later, I was on a plane going to New Zealand. I mean, it was kind of like, how did this happen? I didn't expect this. And it was sort of like, it was kind of like a minor miracle, it wasn't something I could say was supernatural, but just a lot of things that happened along the way so that it could, Y2 was telling me, well, we don't have passports, and I said, now you want to leave in just a little over a week and you don't have a passport? That, I don't think that's going to work, but he had done his homework and he knew that there was an emergency procedure. It actually worked. I was surprised. The Lord can do some wonderful things, when we're just really available to serve Him. I don't want to sound too condescending here, but I thought of another example of someone in the Bible. Mary, the mother of Jesus. She said, behold, the bondservant of the Lord. She was willing to do what God had asked her to do to have a son, and the son would be Jesus, the son who was the Son of God. God in the flesh. Now, we think about that, and she was willing to go through that. I mean, she had to say, no, Lord, how can this happen? Because I'm a virgin. And the angel, the angel who appeared to her, is that, so she asked the angel, and the angel told her. And she says, well, let it be so. Let it be done. I'm the bondservant of the Lord. She was willing to be available for what the Lord had for her. Now, we forget about the fact, and we honor her. We appreciate, the one person of all eternity who bore God in the flesh. What a wonderful thing. We honor her. We should. But think about what the Lord put her through. I mean, she had to endure a lot of persecution, a lot of humiliation for being pregnant before she was married. And she was willing to go through that and to remain pure and to remain a virgin so that she could bear the Son of God. She was willing to go through all of that. Are we willing to go through some of those things that might not be very pleasant in order for the Lord to be glorified? And for Him, there's opportunities that are out there that we can do for Him. So, I hope that you can make some good plans for 2024. Let the Lord be in those plans. Make goals that have Him in mind, and we'll see what He'll do. But, of course, the most important thing, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as a Savior, trust Him. Trust Him now. Don't wait till tonight or till tomorrow. trust Him as a Savior, and you'll have the hope of eternal life. And you'll be with Him when He returns. We can look forward to that. We can look forward to His return, whether or not it's going to be in 2024. We don't know, but we can look forward to His return.